everything I've heard about this class, and I've taken a look at some of the players too, any of the common thoughts that you've heard around the league about this class do you really disagree with, and which ones do you really concur with?
Well, my perspective going into the draft every year is there's value in every round. So if you do your job, if you do your homework, you could find starters into day two, day three. And that's what I see in this year's draft class. Not sexy at top, doesn't have the franchise quarterbacks that we all like. Myles Garrett is the consensus number one. That remains to be seen. So, you know, the star power, maybe not so much as a Winston. We had Mariota. We had big franchise quarterbacks in years past. But when you take a look at the depth, there's some positions here like wide receiver, running back, tight end on the offensive side. You can get starters into day two.
And corner and DN too, right? Or
I have about a third of the first round is going to be defensive backs. Six or seven corners, at least three safeties. I think a third of the first round will come from the secondary.
Wow.
Offensive line, maybe not so much as in years past. And I think, you know, that's where the Giants can get into some trouble because, you know, they need offensive line. I thought the most telling thing I got from the McAdoo presser today was didn't want to give a ringing endorsement to Ereck Flowers. To me, he could have stood by him and said, no, he's our left tackle. We're moving forward with him. But he said right now he's a member of the New York Giants. He's an offensive lineman on March 1st.
Right.
And to me, that says they're looking at left tackle.
Okay, well, let's start there. And, you know, you mentioned that this is not considered to be a very strong offensive line draft class. I'm going to rattle off some of the guys. Cam Robinson, a guy from the biggest program in Alabama. Then you have Ryan Ramczyk, the kid from Wisconsin, played only 1 year Division I football, coming off hip surgery. You got the Bowles kid from Utah, Antonio Garcia, small school in Troy. How do you evaluate the top of this tackle draft class? Do you see a left tackle among them? And how do you think these guys will fall out as the draft goes along? And is someone worth picking in the first round to be a starting left tackle year one if you want to go in that direction?
Garrett Bowles is my guy, Utah. I think he can play on the island, on the left side, that is. And you know, when you talk about his fundamentals, he's a little bit older than these other guys. He's about 25 years old, so he's more fundamentally sound. But he also has the agility and held his own very well. So I think he's the guy, if anybody, to me. And again, you know, left tackles don't grow on trees.
No, so, they do not.
You know, the odds of him being around when the Giants select are probably slim to none. Same thing with Cam Robinson, where I think he's getting a lot of flack in the media. People are poking holes in the flaws in his game.
More of a right tackle, do you agree with that?
Well, you know, watch the game against Myles Garrett. I think he held his own, so maybe there's a chance he can eventually play left tackle. If he was to be there for the Giants and they were to draft him, I would say that he would compete with Ereck Flowers for that starting position.
Okay.
So, you know, I think Cam Robinson probably not getting enough credit that he deserves. I think, you know, if you take a look at his body of work, it is up there with the top tackles in this class. The Wisconsin Whitewater kid, you know, he just had a procedure on his hip.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out right now. Well, the NFL teams are going to find out what the medical status is on that.
And offensive line, by the way, getting measured today, and they're getting all their medical stuff done today, too.
And that was the other thing he took away from Coach was, you know, how important the medical check and the interview process was. Garcia, you know, I was waiting for him to stand out at the Senior Bowl. Didn't really do it for me in terms of being a day one, a top 50 type of selection.
He did weigh in at 300 pounds today, which I know for some people that's important, but he played at 280, 285 most of the year, right?
Right. Well, the thing is now he's got to maintain it.
Well, right.
Yeah, we've seen him with Ali Marpet, you know, 3,000 calories a day. You got to maintain that weight now. But, you know, some guys here in the middle rounds, maybe a guy like Julian Davenport out of Bucknell, 88-inch wingspan. This guy's a condor. Developmental guy, Taylor Moten from Western Michigan, a developmental guy that maybe you can groom to be a starting tackle. But I think really when the Giants address that offensive line, they're going to have to look at free agency, maybe a Russell Okung, maybe Andrew Whitworth, maybe a Larry Warford, and then maybe, you know, plug some of these guys and fill these holes in the middle rounds.
One more quick follow-up on the offensive line before we move on to a different position. If these same offensive tackles were coming out, say, last year, the year before, when it was a deeper offensive tackle draft class, are we talking day two picks?
I think so.
Or can some of these guys sneak into the first round still, you think?
I think so. They're the most dressed up girls at the prom this year. So, you know, I would think so. I think if you were to take these guys in last year's draft, they would probably be second round picks. But if I were to put the marbles on one basket, pick one guy, Garrett Bowles from Utah, to me, stands out above the rest.
Very good. All right, another spot the Giants would be looking for is the tight end position. David Njoku and O.J. Howard, obviously the two guys that most people believe will be first-round selections. I talked to Jeff Risden last week from Real GM, does a good job covering the draft. And he thinks once we get through the combine and these guys blow it up in workouts this weekend, they'll both be gone in the top 20. Do you agree with that assessment, or do you think one of them might be sitting there for the Giants at 23?
For me, O.J. Howard's a top 10 player in this draft, maybe top five. I really think he's going to come in and just be, if not the best tight end, one of the top tight ends in the league. And really, you take a look at Baltimore, where they're picking. They need an offensive weapon. Ozzie Newsome can identify a great tight end as good as anybody. So I can't see O.J. Howard sliding past them. And Njoku, I mean, again, another physical specimen here. Probably is going to jump through the gymnasium here at the combine. But, you know, there's some guys here that I would maybe just take a wait-and-see approach because the tight end class is so talented. Evan Engram is a guy. You know, he's an underrated blocker as well.
So you can find someone you think in round 3, 4, 5 that can be an impact player. Maybe not start right away, but play a role
right
away.
What about Jordan Leggett out of Clemson? Jeremy Sprinkle out of Arkansas? I mean, these guys are not too far off from being, you know, starting players, plug-and-play guys. And I think even Jake Butt is a guy that would be in the first-round conversation.
The medical stuff for him very
right,
important,
if not
obviously.
For the injury.
Right.
So I think especially when you take a look at what the Giants need, I really wasn't a big fan of how they abandoned the fullback position last year. And I seen them, you know, they take Will Time, move him in motion into the backfield and make him a fullback. And I don't know. Larry Donnell's not coming back. Will Tye is more of a pass-catching tight end. Adams is a wait-and-see type of approach. So I think they need a tight end. If they are going to choose a tight end, they need to get a guy that has some blocking abilities.
Big wide receiver to complement Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham Jr., two very good receivers, but smaller guys. Maybe not a first-round pick, but who are some of the bigger-bodied wideouts you like in the middle of this draft?
Bigger-bodied wideouts.
Mike Williams obviously could be a first-round pick. Or should be a first-round pick, obviously.
Yeah, I think Mike Williams is the guy there.
And he's a big boy.
And, you know, he is a big boy. You know, in terms of height coming off the board early, you know, I'm not sure there's any guys that stand out. I think in terms of value guys that are not being talked about in the first round that might creep into that conversation after the combine would be a KD Cannon from Baylor.
Okay.
I think he's a candidate to run the fastest 40-yard dash. Chad Hansen from California has some wheels. I think he's a guy that could possibly sneak into the first round because you take a look at John Ross and Corey Davis. Again, there's injury concerns there. So could a guy like a Chad Hansen creep into the first round conversation after blowing up the combine? So those are some guys that I would probably be on the lookout there.
Okay, I want to swap quickly now to the defensive side of the ball. Do you agree that defensive end prospects and cornerback prospects, the classes are so deep that it's similar to the DT position last year where you get to the middle of the third round. On a normal year, you might be getting a guy that would be an early second round pick.
Yeah, no, I think no doubt about it. You take a look at a guy like Tack McKinley from UCLA. He's a guy that's probably going to slide now, and he would have been top half of the first round. And
wow.
You could maybe get him in the early second now.
Especially shoulder surgery for him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, UCLA, he's going to be out about 5-6 months, similar to the Shaq Lawson situation a year ago. You know, some of the other guys out there, we have – drawing blanks. What are we talking? Defensive ends.
Yeah, defensive end. Pass
defensive
rushers,
ends. Yeah.
Yeah,
pass rushers. We got guys.
And corners.
Yeah. Well, the cornerback position is really deep, really talented. I like the Florida guys up top. Quincy Wilson, Tease Tabor. Probably Marshawn Lattimore is going to be the first one off the board if I were to pick. And then, you know, you have guys like Sidney Jones from Washington, I think is a first-round selection. Guys like the Michigan kid, Jordan Lewis, who he measured in at 5'10" at the Senior Bowl. We expected him to be kind of a slot nickel type of corner. I think he can even play the outside now. So love the cornerback depth. The pass rushers, I think, you know, when you take a look at them, they're mostly, you know, hand in the dirt guys, a couple guys that can stand outside and maybe convert over to outside linebackers, but a lot of 4-3 defensive ends.
Wow, usually you don't have those coming out of college these days, mostly undersized, you know, DNs that play outside linebacker and rush without having their hand in the dirt. All right, Rick, let's take a couple calls, and I'll ask a couple questions as we move along as well. Draft questions only on this caller segment, folks. Rick's the draft guy. We're not going to do free agency and Giants right now. If you have draft questions, get on the line at 201-939-4513. So let's go to Kyle in New Jersey. He's up next. Kyle, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Kyle.
All right, so I only just wanted to ask about finding Eli's successor in the draft.
Okay.
And who do you guys think would fit best to obviously back up Eli and then eventually become the starter?
Thank you, Kyle. And, you know, Rick, this is not a deep quarterback draft. You know, from what most people are saying, even the guys at the top of the draft are developmental. Who do you like, if not a first-round pick, that you, a guy you can develop for 2 or 3 years and maybe down the road could be a successor to Mr. Manning?
Yeah, I probably don't see them going quarterback in the first 2 rounds, so those middle of the rounds, Gerard Evans, Virginia Tech, big-bodied quarterback, transfer from junior college, played 1 year with the head coach up there. He had Paxton Lynch as well. So, you know, the thing with him, he's more developmental guy. You're going to have to groom him, just like you mentioned. The quarterbacks here in this year's class, they're probably 2-3 years away from playing, but you take a look at what he brings to the table, the arm strength, the mobility in the pocket to move around, bide some time. Probably has to get better pocket presence, but when you take a look what he did in 1 year, he came in 4,000 passing yards, 30, 40 touchdowns, just winging it and flinging it all over the field. I mean, really, it was somewhat reminiscent of what Cam Newton did, and he didn't really receive the hype and the publicity and, you know, a couple inches shorter than Cam. But I think, you know, when you take a look at his body of work, albeit short, just like Mitch Trubisky, you got to like what you see. And I think that's a guy that could maybe long-term be a Dak Prescott.
How high do you think Mahomes is going to go? Obviously, you play in a spread offense. That's a big adjustment to the NFL, but all the physical traits and ability is there. How much do you think one team is going to fall in love to the point where they say, you know what, I'm desperate here. I'm picking him, you know, early second round, trading up late first to pick this kid because of his raw physical skills, or is he going to drop into the late day two?
Well, it only takes one.
Exactly. That's why I asked the question.
So, you know, the one dumb owner rule, the one dumb GM rule, the one head coach rule. I don't think Mahomes is an NFL quarterback, in my opinion.
Why is that? Because a lot of people love him to death, which is I'm curious to get your take on it.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of work that needs to be done when you talk about just from the play calling, from being in the huddle and as opposed to looking at the sideline, being the leader of men, working from under the snap, working on your footwork. Also, the arm delivery, you know, I know it works. We've seen guys succeed with it, but Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are the anomaly, right?
They're the exception to the
rule. You know, I mean, not everybody's coming in here and you know, changing up their arm angles, which I think he has some of that. And I think, you know, when you take a look at Patrick Mahomes and that air raid attack is going to be the label that he's fighting, right? So, you know, what do you do with him? Do you put him under center? Do you cater the offense around him? Because that RPO is slowly creeping into the NFL. I mean,
it is a little bit.
You know, I look at what they did in Tennessee with Marcus Mariota, and I think they played to his strengths wonderfully. So I think you have to, same thing with Deshaun Watson, you have to figure out, kind of like when Jim Mora Jr. had him in Atlanta, are you going to force him to be that pocket passer guy, or are you going to let him improvise where he's at his best and can make some plays? And, you know, that's where Mike Vick was at his best, but it also was where it got him injured.
Right, and it really is a tough balance to try to find. Let's go to Big down in Trenton. Big wants to talk about the NFL draft. What's going on, Big?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing well. What's on your mind, man?
I just had to ask a question about a three technique next to snacks. I want to know about, like, Johnson from Iowa and or, like, a Montavis Adams from Auburn. Like, would they be good three techniques?
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I think you could definitely plug either one of those guys in there. And Montavis Adams, I love. I mean, you talk about what he did at the Senior Bowl, I thought was really underrated. I didn't hear much of a buzz. I thought he performed very well and very similar size to a Jonathan Hankins. So you plug him next to Damon Harrison, and again, I think you're rolling with that 700 pounds of beef and up the middle. And Jaleel Johnson's a guy, also had an impressive Senior Bowl. But Little undersized, little short in stature, which I think might hurt his draft stock a little bit. If he was an inch or two taller, you could be potentially looking at a first-round talent. But, you know, the height, I think, knocks him back maybe into that middle second round.
Is the DT class, you think, a little bit down this year after having such a large number of really good prospects in last year's class?
Up top it is, but I think the depth is good. You can get quality players, quality backups, rotational guys, future starters, guys you can groom. A couple defensive tackles, you know, that we had down at the College Gridiron Showcase weren't even invited here at the NFL Scouting Combine. A guy like Shakir Soto out of Pittsburgh, where head coach Pat Narduzzi asked him to bulk up 50 pounds heading into the season. This guy is a terror, and he's not here in Indianapolis, and he should be.
Who's your one guy that's going to blow up the combine this weekend?
Haseem Reddick. I mean, this guy is going to really leave here. The buzz in my hotel room was so loud last night I couldn't sleep because the Haseem Reddick buzz. Man, this guy is going to come out
what
here.
What drills?
Everything. This guy is going to probably, if he ran a 4.440, it wouldn't surprise me, John.
Really?
And I think that he's going to have close to 38-inch vertical would be my guess, and maybe a 10, 11-foot broad jump. This guy's going to put up measurables that are close to running back and wide receivers, and I think that his momentum off of the Senior Bowl and then off of the combine, I believe he'll be a top 16 overall pick.
All right, I've been told I should ask everybody here that comes who they think the Giants are going to wind up with at the 23rd pick in the first round. It's obviously ridiculously early, but what is your prediction?
Well, we were talking pass rushers. I was shooting blanks earlier, but Derek Barnett would be the guy for me. If he's available for the Giants, I'd be doing cartwheels up to the podium. I mean, this guy, and there's a guy there's mixed opinions about, and I'm not sure why. Because I see a guy that can bully you. He can dip and rip, get under you. He could even pull out the spin move on you. I mean, this guy's pass rush repertoire is, like, unbelievable. 3 years in a row of 10-plus sacks in the SEC, the only player in history.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So if that guy's here, I'm doing backflips to the podium for Derek Barnett, Tennessee.
Rick, great stuff.
Hey, thanks,
appreciate
John.
It. Rick Saratella, founder, NFL Draft Bible, the relaunch. Make sure you check it out.